We return this morning to our study in the Gospel of Luke, and I would be grateful if you would turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. We read the first half of it, by and large, this morning, and the first half of Luke 8 has a single theme. You may have noticed the theme as we read it together, and that theme is the importance, the cardinal importance in the teaching of Jesus, of a right hearing of the Word of God. It is Jesus' repeated theme indeed, not just in the familiar parable of the sower, but in all three of these passages which comprised our reading this morning. You notice in the parable of the sower from verse 4 to verse 15, Jesus cries out in verse 8, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." It is the right hearing of the Word of God which is his theme. But secondly, in the parable of the lamp lit to be set on a stand rather than hidden under a bed, which is the theme of verses 16 to 18, the key phrase is in verse 18, "Take heed then how you hear." And thirdly, in the whole question of Jesus' relatives and family and who belong to his inner circle and who are his close relations, you again get this key issue pressed upon them by Jesus in verse 21, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." So the key issue in the whole of this passage that we read together is the right hearing of and response to the Word of God. Almost everything in Jesus' judgment turns upon that issue. And it's vital for us to come to terms with it this morning. And perhaps may I say, first of all, not to be turned off by our familiarity with the parable of the sower and say, "We are back here again, we know it all, we have learned this parable." My dear friends, I have no question that God wants to confront us again this morning with this cardinal, crucial issue, which is the fulcrum around which almost everything for us spiritually revolves. And it is the issue of the right hearing of the Word of God. Notice Jesus is not speaking here about those who have not heard, or those who choose not to hear. He is speaking about us. He is speaking about the privileged, those who hear, and hear regularly, the Word of God. The vital issue for us is, "Take heed," says Jesus. And they are words of solemn warning. Take heed how you hear. And you'll see from what Jesus says that our eternal destiny depends upon it. In verse 12, for example, "The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved." So a wrong hearing of the word of God creates the possibility that we may lose eternal salvation. Secondly, our spiritual well-being depends upon it. Verse 18, Jesus says, "Take heed then how you hear, for to him who has will more be given, and from him who has not even what he thinks that he has will be taken away from him." Our spiritual well-being depends on a right hearing of the Word of God. If you do not take heed how you hear, says Jesus, then there is this possibility that you may be left by God impoverished and barren. The very things you thought you have will be taken from you, and you will be left desolate, spiritually desolate. And thirdly, our relationship with Christ depends upon it. Verse 21 says, Jesus, when they were telling him, "Your mother and brothers, those who are closest to you in family bonds are standing outside and waiting on you. Jesus says, relationship with me does not depend on any of these external natural factors. A relationship with me depends entirely on hearing the word of God so as to obey it. So this is how vital the teaching of this particular part of Luke's gospel is for us this morning. And I plead with you in God's name that together we might give our hearts and minds and souls to attend on this, because there is something that is absolutely vital for us here. Let me then spell out for you the three propositions that it seems to me Jesus is setting before us in this particular passage. First, it is possible to hear the word of God unprofitably. I mean the pure word of God, the living word of God. It is possible to hear it unprofitably. That's by and large the message of the parable of the sower. Secondly, it is possible to hide the word of God dangerously. That's the message of verses 16 to 18. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand that those who enter in may see the light. For nothing is hid that shall not be made manifest, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to the light. I shall explain what I intend by that later, but let me press this principle upon you. It is possible to hide the word of God dangerously. And thirdly, it is possible to heed the word of God fruitfully. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God, verse 21, and do it. Now, obviously, because Jesus spends most time on the first of these, we probably will too. But let me turn to that first principle with you. It is possible to hear the word of God unprofitably. There are two warnings that Jesus gives us in relation to hearing the word of God throughout the Gospels. They can be summarized in two words that he speaks. First, in Mark 4:24, where Jesus says, take heed what you hear. And the other one here in Luke 8:18, take heed how you hear. The first is a warning about the need to examine the truthfulness of the teaching to which we listen. So says Jesus, don't just take heed to anything that you hear, take heed to what you hear. Be careful about sifting the truthfulness of what you are hearing. And this, of course, is the whole testimony of Scripture. Jesus urges people again and again to do this. The apostles do it. Search the Scriptures, they urge upon them, as Jesus himself did. But the second is a warning, not so much to examine the truthfulness of the teaching, but to examine ourselves and the way that we are hearing, particularly the condition of our hearts into which the word of God comes. And I say to you again, this examination is the most vital thing in the world for us, for the sake of our spiritual well-being. Neglect it, Jesus seems to say, and you can be left desolate. Now, it's this second warning that we are concerned with this morning. Many of us are skilled at taking heed to what we hear. We have a nose for heterodoxy or heresy. We are able to discern what is true and untrue. We can tell whether somebody is preaching what is not the truth. And we are skilled at this, many of us, taking heed what we hear.
And so we are careful to place ourselves under a biblical ministry. And we may be quick to criticize a ministry that is not biblical sound, doctrinally orthodox. But many of us who have that facility are slow to take heed how we hear. We would never dream of sitting content under a ministry that was not biblical. But my dear friends, we can be so easily content to sit under the pure word of God and hear it unprofitably.
Now this is a simple matter of fact. Warning number one of three warnings that Jesus gives us in this parable is that it is possible to hear the word of God with clarity, but without faith and without experiencing salvation in all its fullness. The word of God, of course, is powerful. And it contains the seed germ of eternal life and a new creation. Of that there is no question whatsoever. That's what the Bible constantly tells us about itself. That is what we ourselves have experienced. The Word of God is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the seed that God plants that brings forth life. It is the instrument of regeneration. We are born again by the living seed of the Word of God. But I want to say to you this morning, it does not happen mechanically, automatically. It does not happen inevitably. And if your heart is somehow hardened towards God, like a well-trodden path, then however true the word may be that you hear, the devil will delight to come and snatch away the word of God from that hardened pathway, which is your heart. He will gladly cooperate with the hardness of your heart to remove the word of God. And you will be left without salvation. That's what Jesus says at the end of verse 12. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. Now, a hard heart is simply a heart that is closed against God, that over the years probably has known the Word of God, heard it, recognized it, perhaps come to terms with it, and you have known what it is for the preaching of it to be ministered to you again and again, and all the time you have turned a closed heart to it. You will notice part of the problem about this particular pathway in the parable of the sower, as most people seem to recognize or know about the geography and history of the Holy Land, is that it is the sower himself who has created something of this pathway. He has walked there. It is he who walks up and down and up and down. It is his frequent passing by. And it is possible for people to sit under the word of God and find their hearts increasingly hardened to it. Now, the question that I want to raise is, how do you deal with a hard heart? Because it may be that some of us this morning recognize that that's precisely our condition. How do you deal with a hard heart? Well, I want to give you the answer to that. And the answer is that only God can take a heart of stone and change it into a heart of flesh.
But that is precisely what he has promised to do in the prophecy of Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So if you find yourself this morning, in some measure, in whatever sense, with a heart that is growing hard to the Word of God, so that it doesn't even get in, and in a sense, you know what I mean, it bounces off, then, my dear friend, the first and primary thing you need to do is cry to God, "Oh God, take this stony heart out of me and give me a heart of flesh into which your word may come." Warning number two in the parable of the sower. And you get this in verses 6 and 13. Verse 6 is the parable, verse 13 the description and interpretation. It is possible to hear the word of God with superficial acceptance, but without eternal life. You notice this. Jesus speaks of these soil, the seed which fell on the rock, as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And in verse 13, he interprets that the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these of no root, they believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, this is the general heading of hearing the word of God unprofitably. It is possible to hear it clearly, first of all, but without faith and without salvation. Second warning, it is possible to hear the word of God with superficial acceptance, but without eternal life. Now, in some things, this is the opposite to what Jesus has just been speaking about. The seed that fell on the rocky soil was seed which was immediately received. It did not find a hard exterior, you see. On the contrary, it found a joyful, living, delighted welcome. There was something almost effervescent about the way the person Jesus is speaking about responds to the word of God. Immediacy, joy.
But the real issue, you see, that Jesus is putting here, and it's the real issue for every single one of us here in church this morning, my dear friends. The real issue is not, have I heard the gospel? The real issue is not, have I heard it gladly? The real issue is not, have I had a flood of emotional response as I did so? The real issue is, how deep has it gone? That's the issue. Because Jesus says, it is possible for those who in a flood tide of emotional movement have discovered the word of God, embraced it gladly, and are filled with joy, and will say to you, I'm on cloud nine. But they're not in the kingdom of heaven. Because the word of God has not gone down deeply. Now, I say to you, it's possible for that to be an emotional response, immediate, temporary, superficial. It's also possible for it to be an intellectual response. Intellectually convinced, agreeing with the overwhelming sense of the rationality of the gospel, convinced by its truth, mentally at one with it. But it's gone no further. My dear friends, it's possible to be the shallow soil in either of these two ways. Either a shallow intellectualism or a shallow emotionalism. And they are both fatal to eternal life. If that's all that we have known. Because it's not until the word of God gets right down to the will and captivates us there. But we know what it is to experience true salvation. The ones on the rock are those when they hear the word receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. Warning 3 in verses 7 and 14. It is possible also to hear the word of God with interest, but without repentance. And that follows on again from the previous two. It's possible for us to hear the word of God with clarity, but without salvation. It is possible for us to hear the word of God with an immediate response, but without eternal life. Thirdly, it is possible for us to hear the word of God with interest, but without repentance. That's the message of the seed falling among the thorns. You notice this ground, which was full of weeds or thorns of whatever kind, it doesn't really matter. The horticultural details are not really important. The important thing is that when the seed fell into that ground, it was accommodated. That's the principal thing. And when the word of God falls into that kind of heart, it can be accommodated. You know? Oh, no great problem in accommodating Jesus with all sorts of other things in my heart. Have you any room for Jesus, asks the hymn. Yes, is the response often. I have, along with a whole lot of other rubbish, which I am not going to have cleared out of my life. Thank you. Have you any room for this word from God? Oh, yes. Yes. But you see, the point is that the real energies of the soil are given to something other than the seed of the word. And the real energies of the soil go to the production of weeds. And this is why Jesus and the apostles lay so much emphasis on repentance. Because you see, my dear friends, when God speaks his word to us, whether it's the word of the gospel, by which he wants to draw us to himself and into the glories of his kingdom of grace, or whether it is a word of some other area that he is speaking to us, it is a word that needs to be heard with faith. That is, we embrace it gladly. And with repentance, that is, that we are ready for Jesus to clear out every rival from our lives. Now that's what this part of the parable of the sower is talking about. And I'm bound to press it on my own soul, God knows, as upon yours. Are you hearing the word of God profitably or unprofitably? The fourth kind of soil we'll come back to later. Not much later, but later. Now that is the first general heading. It is possible to hear the word of God unprofitably. Secondly, it is possible to hide the word of God dangerously. Verses 16 to 18. No one after lighting a lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, says Jesus. Now you will recognize how there is a measure of Jesus' humor that comes into this. They are lighting a lamp, you know, a lamp that burns, not an electric switch, but a light that is burning. And he says, nobody, when they have lit a lamp, covers it over with a vessel or puts it under a bed. The idea of that would be preposterous. Because a lamp is not given to be hidden. It is given to be shining and displayed. Now, what is this lamp? Well, I am persuaded that the lamp is the word of God. Your word, says the psalmist, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
And Jesus goes on to press upon us in verse 18, take heed how you hear then, he says. It's the same message, you see. But what is he saying to us? Well, he is saying it's possible to hide the word of God dangerously. Of course it's possible to hide the word of God profitably. And the psalmist in Psalm 119 tells us he has done it. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Ah, but here's a different kind of hiding of the word of God. You can hide the word of God which you have heard, bury it under something, bury it under the blankets, bury it in some corner, because it's uncomfortable, unacceptable, because it will change my life and I don't want to hear it. Thank you. You know, there was a man in Pilgrim's Progress whom Pilgrim met as he was come running down the hill, and he had two fingers in his ears. You know. Oh, we need to read Pilgrim's Progress more, you know. There is a generation that groweth up that knoweth not Bunyan, and we really need to put our fingers into the pages of Pilgrim's Progress and prevent ourselves having the syndrome of hiding the word of God. Once we have heard it, hiding it. Now there are two dangers in hiding it, says Jesus. The danger, first of all, for other people. Look at the end of verse 16. No one after lighting a lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, that those who enter may see the light. In other words, if you're hiding the word that God has given to you, that is, if you're burying it because it's going to disturb you, then you're going to cause other people to stumble. That's it. Have you caught that, my Christian brothers and sisters? You hide the word of God and you will cause other people to stumble. You will be an offense to them, because they're depending on the light shining that others may see as they enter, says Jesus. And they'll not see. They'll be in the dark because you've hidden the light and made it more difficult for them to see. Isn't that really quite appalling? That we can make it more difficult for other people to see Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. But it's dangerous for ourselves as well, verses 17 and 18. Dangerous because God is going to reveal it one day, verse 17. Nothing is hidden that shall not be made manifest, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. I think that refers to the judgment day when the Lord Jesus is going to confront us with the word of God that we have heard. And we have hidden it, buried it away somewhere, and on the judgment day he will bring it out and say, but you knew that. No, you will say, no, no. But he said, look where it is, you know, when you've hidden something from somebody and you didn't want them to find it when you were a child, and your mother or father lifted up the place where it was and pulled it out and said, there it is. Now God is going to confront us with the word that we heard. And he will say, you knew that. You were there in church, weren't you? These Sundays, with that man who preached too long, but you were there all that time, and you knew it. And God will hold you responsible for it. So it's dangerous to hide the word. More than that, in verse 18, it is dangerous because if we do not use well what we've been given, we will lose it. And God will take away from us even the things that we have. But the last thing, not only is it possible to hear the word of God unprofitably, and in the second place, to hide the word of God dangerously, it is possible to heed the word of God fruitfully. That's what the fourth kind of soil is all about. Says Jesus in verse 15, in the good soil the seed
is planted, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bring forth fruit with patience. What is that fruit? I think that's what the last three verses of our passage are all about. Jesus says the fruit of it is the kind of relationship with me for which you were born and born again. How do people really come to know God? A few Sundays ago, here we had David Forbes in the pulpit. I don't know how many people said to me, I wouldn't say it when he was here, but I don't know how many people said to me, the thing about David Forbes is that he knows God. That's the impression you get all the time. My dear friends, where does that come from? I may say to you, it's got nothing whatever to do with a Highland background, although that's lovely. It's got everything to do with a man who has soaked himself in the Word of God and given himself to obey it. Because there's no point in being a student of Holy Scripture if you haven't given yourself to obeying it. And so Jesus says, who are my brothers and my mother? Who are those who are closest to me? Those who hear the word of God and do it. And the rich glory that comes from that, not one of us here this morning could begin to measure. My brothers and sisters, don't let's lose that. Let's pray together. My gracious Master and my God, how great and gracious you are to us. How wonderful is your word. How tenderly do you come to us again and again when we have turned hard hearts to your voice and to your truth. And you plead with us all the day long. Oh, grant that we may cry to you today, if our hearts are hard, that you will give us a heart of flesh. Hear us, gracious Father, as we pray that you will help us into a right hearing and a glad obeying of the Word of God. We seek it because you have told us to, and because we want your glory in our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen.